3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of 3 a.m. Tales of Terror, where we tell you stories of the paranormal. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Kenny.
And Eli is also here. He needs to get in his chair. He had an accident earlier.
He has an attitude today, too.
Well, he's also stinky. So, anyways, this episode, we're going to be talking about the San Fernando Cathedral in Texas. Not I guess it's in San Fernando, Texas. I'm not sure. I guess we're all going to find out because I researched this a long time ago, so I have no idea.
It's going to be a story for all of us.
Yes. So, all right, so we can go ahead and get started. Okay, so the ghost of San Fernando Cathedral. Technically, its name is the Church of Nuestra Señora de la Candelabra y Guadalupe. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. A mouthful, perhaps, which pays homage to the church.
Pays homage. Ain't no home about it.
A mouthful, perhaps, which pays homage.
Homage. Ha. Ha ha ha. Homage. It makes a ha sound because there's no E.
Okay. Which pays...
I swear to God, if you don't say homage.
It's got me all messed up now. A mouthful, perhaps, which pays homage to the church's patron saints. For the masses, though, the imposing Gothic Revival church situated on San Antonio's main plaza goes by San Fernando Cathedral. It was named after 13th century King Ferdinand III of Castile, Spain, who was largely responsible for creating an atmosphere of peace among his Christian, Muslim, and Jewish citizens. Ferdinand III was canonized in 1671, and so maybe we can imagine that the early Spanish settlers of San Antonio de Bexar sought a similar sort of peace in the New World, the peace they ultimately achieved thanks largely to disease and war. As for peace for the dead, well, it seems that many spirits still wander around the grounds of San Fernando Cathedral as they did in life and now as they continue to do in death. The history of the San Fernando Cathedral. The Canary Islanders arrive. In 1731, 56 Canary Islanders made the arduous trek from off the coast of Spain across the Atlantic Ocean into the Gulf of Mexico. Life on water was tough, and life traveling across 18th century Mexico was even harder. 4 people were lost during the journey, as well as 125 horses.
That's a lot of horses.
That is a lot of horses to die. The Canary Islanders arrived in colonial Texas with high hopes and anticipation. They'd been promised land grants, the rights as the first civilian settlers to form a town government, and the prestigious title of Hidalgo, which was a rank of Spanish nobility.
There's also a movie called Hidalgo.
Oh, okay. The problem, it had all been a lie. There were no towns. There was no government. There were the Spanish missionaries and their accompanying soldiers, and that was it. The King of Spain had sent them so that they could claim the territory as Spain's before the French arrived and stuck their greedy fingers into it. That's a funny way of saying it. The only choice was to work the land, to toil away from sunup to sundown. And so the Canary Islanders did so, even though they were forced to share their promised land with missionaries, as well as the soldiers and their families, none of which had been part of the original deal with the King of Spain. Despite the hardships that San Antonio de Bexar provided to the Canary Islanders, there was one mission that they refused to relinquish, to build and complete a cathedral for them to worship freely.
A mission derailed. By 1738, the Canary Islanders settled on prime real estate for their new church, and the first cornerstone was laid. It was to sit on a wide expanse of land overlooking the San Antonio River and was near the Presidio, or the military fortification, which is now the Spanish governor's palace. 5 years later, the Alamo's first stone would be put into place. Unfortunately, sometimes the best laid plans are often the ones that suffer. The Canary Islands, as well as the other families in San Antonio de Bexar, were under constant threat by the Lipan Apache people.
I would say Lipan, maybe.
The Lipan?
Lipan.
The Lipan Apache peoples?
Yeah.
Battles were frequent among the Spanish and the indigenous people, and bloodshed even more so. It was in 1730, just a year before the Canary Islanders arrived, that the Lipan Apache tribe declared war on San Antonio. Their attacks were brutal, constant, and unforgiving. So much so that the people of San Antonio were warned not to leave their houses because they were worried about imminent death by the Apaches if they did. Less than a year later, the Apache rode into San Antonio and stole 60 head of cattle from the Presidio's herd and other livestock, guns, and also ammunition. The Apache viewed the Spanish as the encroachers and so helped themselves to whatever they had desired. The lines had been drawn, the blood had been shed, and the raid seemed to never end, until the Comanche tribe entered the fray. By 1749, the Lipan Apache struggled greatly against the warring horsemen of the Comanche peoples, leading them to approach the Spanish for a peace treaty. Peace at last seemed a true possibility.
That's a lot. Like,
what?
For them to just come in and be like, I'm taking.
Yeah, it's almost like their land was stolen.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Burying the hatchet. The peace offering was to be made before the old San Fernando Church, with a crowd gathered around to watch the momentous occasion. The Apache dug a deep hole into the soil. The peace offering came in the form of their hatchets, arrows, and war clubs, giving history and symbolism to the saying, burying the hatchet. But that was not all the Apache put inside of the pit. They also buried a white horse, which was still alive, as horses were significant to their culture, and the color white symbolized peace. Then they began to refill the hole. Only then did the Apache and Spanish dance around the pit to celebrate their newfound peace. Only the peace was once more short-lived. Though the physical battles between the two cultural groups had finished, another, this one more deadly, took its place. With more contact occurring between the Apache and the Spaniards, it was only a matter of time before smallpox left its mark. The disease ravaged the Apache population, greatly diminishing their numbers, so that they were unable to defend themselves against the Comanches, who were furious that the Apaches had sought a peace treaty with the Spanish. Those who survived the smallpox fled the area to protect themselves. The hatchet had indeed been buried with more casualties than anyone had possibly envisioned at that time.
That's wild that they buried a horse alive.
I know. I mean, I get like the symbolism of it, but that's a lot. Because you need the white horse.
Big ass hole.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about major historical events at the San Fernando Cathedral. The marriage of Colonel James Bowie.
I'm pretty sure it's Bowie, like David Bowie.
Yeah, but his knife is a Bowie knife.
Oh. You know this person?
I do.
Oh. Like personally?
Yeah, I met him. Couple of times.
Oh, okay.
He's a little old. I mean, he was, you know, in 1831 is when he got married, but,
oh,
you know.
Okay. Okay.
I met him a couple of times. He's okay. Cool. Okay. Forged a couple knives named after him.
Okay.
Own a couple knives named after him.
Okay.
It's all about who you ask. Bowie knife, Bowie knife, it doesn't matter. In 1831, the ever-famous Alamo defender, James Bowie, took the hand of Ursula de Veramendi?
Yeah.
At the old San Fernando Church. Ursula was the daughter of Juan Martin de Veramendi, the governor of Coahuila, C-O-A-H-U-I-L-A.
I say it's like Coahuila.
And Tejas? Anyway, and was 19 years old at the time she married Bowie. Bowie, on the other hand, was 39 and nearly 20 years her senior.
Good lord.
I mean, that's pretty...
It is
for the time period,
there,
that seems kind of accurate.
Whew.
Their wedding was held at the San Fernando Church, much to the delight of the local citizens of San Antonio. It must have been a grand, lavish affair since Ursula's father was a governor. and for a time, all was well with the buoys. Until, once more, fear of disease threatened the city, a cholera epidemic swept through Texas, and news spread that San Antonio was next. Bowie refused to risk the lives of his family, so he packed them all up and sent Ursula, her parents, and their children to their family estate in Mexico. In a tragic turn of events, it was not San Antonio that suffered the wrath of the cholera, but actually Monclova, where Bowie's family and in-laws had sought shelter. Within 8 days, Ursula and the rest of her family were dead. As local lores go, James Bowie was never the same again. Drinking became his main source of comfort. His haggard appearance reflected his depression. He continued on his way until the fall of the Alamo in 1836, when Bowie became one of the 189 defenders to die in the Texas fight for independence from Mexico.
I would be so mad. I would probably go to drinking too, because like, I'm going to send my entire family to this place to be safe from the thing that I don't want them to die from. And then they go to this place that was supposed to be safe and they die from the thing that I didn't want them to die from. Like,
such is life. That's why he gave his life at the Alamo, because he wanted to see his family again.
Yeah. No quarter drawn. Remember the Alamo. Legend has it that the rallying cry would be heard all over the battlefield as the 189 Alamo defenders drew their last breaths against Mexican generals.
Breasts?
Breasts? Is that what I said?
You said their last breasts.
Oops.
Why are they drawing boobies?
Drew their last breaths against Mexican General Santa Anna's cavalry and troops. Davy Crockett, the notorious outdoorsman, wielded his rifle above his head like a club when he ran out of ammunition. James Bowie, tied up with yellow fever, sprawled out on one of the beds in the Alamo, rifle clutched in his grasp as he shot every one of his enemies when they dared enter his makeshift hospital room. But before all of this, before the chaos of war and loud sounds of cannons heaving, muskets firing, men crying, General Santa Anna gave the Texans one last chance to escape the misery he would deliver them upon their loss. High up on the San Fernando Cathedral's tower, Santa Anna raised a red flag to signal there would be no quarter if the Texans did not surrender. As the story goes, the Texans answered with a single cannon blast. The siege and defeat of the Alamo lasted a period of 13 days. There were no survivors, but when the Texans won their independence from Mexico at the Battle of San Jacinto, not long after, they returned to the old San Fernando Church to fly the victory flag. In true meaning of the phrase, no quarter, the Alamo's fallen defenders were not given a proper burial by General Santa Anna and were simply burned on mass pyres or thrown into the rivers. After Texas had won its independence, Colonel Juan Seguin, who controlled the New Republic, reportedly buried the corpses under the sanctuary railing of the old San Fernando Church. Did this really happen? Some say yes, some say no. In 1936, a box was unearthed from the cathedral during renovations, and it is said that charred bones, nails, and tattered uniforms were unearthed. Since then, historians have been quick to point out that it's unlikely that Seguin did any such thing, since the bodies were probably never recovered from the pyres. Legend or not, a marble sarcophagus now graces the southeastern corner of the cathedral, where it is said that the ashes of Colonel William Barrett Travis and Davy Crockett are interred. There remains the relics of Texan heroes. There's a lot of history that I put in this, obviously, but there are ghosts.
I remember for History Day in elementary school, I always dressed up as Bowie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're Davy Crockett. I'm like, no, I'm not. No. No, I'm not. I'm Bowie. He's cooler.
Oh, my God.
Building the San Fernando Cathedral, completion and renovation through the years. Less than a year after the peace treaty with the Apache, the Canary Islanders were finally able to lay the final stonework in completing the old Fernando Church in 1750. The church was designed in a colonial style, but fit for the time period and the Spanish culture of its founders. While its oldest feature remains its baptismal font, which is said to have been a gift from King Charles III of Spain, the old church underwent a massive renovation during the mid-19th century. In 1868, the church's front facade was demolished to make way for a French Gothic architectural style that was all the rage during the period. Architect Francois P. Girard, who later became the mayor of San Antonio, ran the renovation, and not 6 years later, the church officially was consecrated as a cathedral. The Diocese of San Antonio was not only the first official diocese in Texas, but San Fernando became the state's first cathedral as well. Later in 1920, the cathedral finally received its beautiful stained glass windows that are so often photographed today. San Fernando Cathedral was added to the U.S. National Register of Historical Places in 1975, and Pope John Paul II traveled to Texas for the first and only time in 1987 when he visited San Fernando Cathedral. Today, a statue stands in the cathedral in commemoration of the event. Another renovation project took place in 2003, though this one spanned three phases and was worth $15 million. Despite the many alterations and renovations in the last two centuries, the San Fernando Cathedral continues to be the center point of Catholic religious life in San Antonio. Over 5,000 people participate at weekend masses each week of the year. If that number isn't astounding enough, over 900 baptisms, 100 weddings, 110 funerals, and many other services are performed at the cathedral each year as well. It goes without saying that the historic San Fernando Cathedral is quite popular for both the living and the dead, and the ghosts, which are rumored to still haunt its grounds.
I wonder if your parents are going to this place.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I feel like they would because, you know, it's Catholic.
I think they're doing a straight shot through Texas.
I don't know.
On 40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going up or down.
No. I feel like they would like to go see this place because, you know, Catholics. Well, your dad.
So. And Pam and Terry.
Oh, yeah. Them too. Yeah. So.
You forget they're Catholics.
Yeah, I do. The ghost of San Fernando Cathedral. As the oldest church in the Lone Star State, it only makes sense that San Fernando Cathedral might be one of the most haunted locations in all of San Antonio. The apparition of a white stallion galloping in front of the church has been spotted, as though the ghost of the Apache's peace offering from the 1730s has yet to leave the site of his death. I mean, you buried him alive. What do you expect anything less? Like, you buried the horse alive and now it's seen.
Yeah, I mean...
Guests on ghost tours have caught all sorts of paranormal phenomena, including brightly lit orbs skirting past and the sight of dark shadows moving around. Who are these spirits who still call San Fernando Cathedral home? Although we can't say for certain, it's quite likely that it might be the energies of people who were once buried within the walls of the church itself, so buried within the San Fernando Cathedral. During the early years of the old San Fernando Church, it wasn't out of the norm to actually bury people within the walls of the church. The rankings of the people never mattered. From the highest ranking men to the smallest, poorest child, all ultimately found themselves interred within the walls of San Fernando, for a period of time, at any rate. While the parishioners were given the walls, the priests and other prominent Catholics in the parish were given the floor of the church as their final resting place. Anthony Dominic Pelliser, the first bishop of San Fernando Cathedral, is buried under the head of the main aisle of the church. More strangely, the area where the Alamo Defender's remains were found by the sanctuary railing just so happens to be the place where many officers who perished in the Battle of El Rosario on March 28, 1883 were buried. For years, many people who visit San Fernando have reported seeing faces appear in the exterior walls of the church, a gaping mouth, two sunken eyes. The features of a skull have appeared to countless people visiting the oldest standing structure in Texas. Are the faces on the rock wall only a matter of imagination and interpretation? While some might argue that the skull-like spectral faces that suddenly appear while on the outer rock walls of the church are the spirits of those interned within the San Fernando Cathedral, there's no mistaking the amount of people who have been buried within, as well as the amount of paranormal sightings that have occurred elsewhere on the cathedral's grounds.
Yeah, I always think it's wild that they bury people with, like, in the walls.
Yeah, and I know of other places. I feel like we've talked about other places. I feel like they get that from, like, the French and stuff, who, like, with the catacombs and stuff. Like, because that's, like, earlier, I
think. Yeah, you run out of space.
So, yeah.
Well, it's like in Rome. Mm-hmm. The holy cathedral that's there that the Pope resides in. I think every single wall of that entire, like, it's hard to call it a cathedral because it's, I mean, it's literally a city. Yeah. It's just the bones of people. The only people that are different, I believe, are cardinals or popes.
Right, right.
They're buried in, like, sarcophagi.
Sarcophagus.
Yeah, but what's the plural of that?
I don't know.
Sarcophaguses?
Sarcophaguses.
Sarcophagi. Mm-hmm. And some of them are weird, man, because, like, they're open.
Yeah.
Like, they're glass.
Yeah, like, so strange. What was that story that we did? We did a story not too long ago about with the girl, with the little girl in the glass.
In the glass box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she looks like
same thing, except it's a grown man. It's a and it's like, this is odd.
Yeah.
Okay. Dark shadowed ghost of the San Fernando Cathedral. On multiple occasions, shadowed ghostly figures have been spotted wandering the grounds of the cathedral. On one occasion, a guest on a ghost tour stood listening to her guide regale her with the tales of the church itself. But even as she stood there, her gaze continued to track a strange man who seemed to follow the tour. He trailed them, following them from the front of the cathedral, and then again when they edged toward the back of the historical site. And then he simply disappeared. When she tried to describe him, she likened his all-black clothing to the dress style of the 18th or 19th centuries. She initially thought him to be another tour guide joining the group, but his abrupt disappearance suddenly had her wondering if he hadn't been a ghost himself. To make matters even stranger, a few others of the tour-goers had witnessed the same dark, shadowy apparition, leaving all to wonder who he was. Which is funny, because when we used to walk up and down the neighborhood when I was a kid at Mom's house.
Yeah.
When Donnie died, who's my uncle.
Yes.
Vicky's husband.
Yes.
He liked to lean at the, I know you had, just before you, she had lines of oak trees on the front of her house. So we would walk up the street and then down the adjoining neighborhood and then back up. Mm-hmm. And one night we were doing that. Dude, solid black figure leaning against the tree. I turned around and looked. It's kind of weird. We're doing this at night. We always did it at night. And I'm looking back and it's Mom and Vicky up front and then me and Dad. And I'm looking back and I didn't say anything. We got back to the house. Dad's like, "So that guy leaning against the tree too, huh?"
Oh my God.
And I'm like, "Yes." Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. He's like, "It's probably Donnie. It's one of his favorite spots in his yard." I was like, "Okay, cool."
I'm still so creepy.
Yeah. Well, see, I was like, I don't know. I guess growing up in the church and all that stuff and then around spiritual people, I've kind of always seen ghosts and stuff like that. I'm not saying that I'm like a median.
A median?
Medium? Median's for a highway, isn't it? I'm not a medium.
Well, you also see shadow people, so.
Yeah, but that's from heavy drug use from my past. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, it's never bothered me.
That's good.
Like the girl in the back seat. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really freak. Like at first, it gives me like chills, and I'm like, sketchy. And then I get over it, and I'm like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You haven't dealt with that a lot, have you?
No, I don't.
Happens to the best of us.
I haven't really ever like seen a ghost, I don't think.
Really? No. Mm-mm. It's not all that wild.
No, I just get more like, I get more of like the bad feelings, like the house in Kernersville that I there was a house not too far down from where we lived.
Oh, the Texas Chainsaw House.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like the, it didn't have like the pillars.
It's an old grain house.
Yeah. And every time we drove by that house on the road, now it's on a main road. So like, it's like two lanes on each side. And then there's like the median.
It's a highway. It's a highway. Yeah, it's a highway.
And every time we would get close to it, I get this like pit in my stomach. And I just, and it doesn't go away until we're like far enough away from it.
And what's even wilder?
I just don't like it.
Is it's never been for sale.
No, it's not for sale. It's
never been put up on the market.
No.
And nobody touches it. It just sits.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've talked about it before. I don't know if it was in episodes.
And, like, it's prime real estate.
It is. It's a nice house, too, but it
well,
has...
Well, I'm sure it was a nice house.
Yeah.
But its location is prime real estate.
Oh, for sure. And it has... There's a lot of property around it,
yeah,
too. Like,
so
it has land.
Either for developers or for commercial space, prime. It's just odd that it just...
It sits there.
It just sits there and does nothing.
And it's old. It just keeps getting... And every time I pass it, it's like I have this feeling that... Something bad happened there and that nobody like touches it. But I can't find anything on this house.
I've asked Jonah. I've asked everybody else I know that's lived in Kernersville. Mm-hmm. It has always been vacant since everybody can remember.
And it's just creepy. Like I get this pit
so
in
for,
my stomach.
For the last, who's the oldest person I asked? Charles. So since he can remember, he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
It's been vacant.
Yeah.
So for minimum since the 80s, it's been vacant.
Yeah. And I don't even, like, and it's weird. So, like, when I pass it on the opposite side of the road, it's, like, not, like, it's just, I get that pit in my stomach. But if I'm passing it and I'm, like, on the same side of the road that it's on, oh, man, I'm, like, hitting that gas pedal. Like, we gotta go.
It's just wild to me that you've never seen a ghost, even being at Mom's house, because it's haunted. And the house in Kernersville, there were spirits in there, too, because I'd hear them at night. But I only heard them when you were gone.
I just know that somebody lived in the attic in Kernersville, and I don't do attics.
Well, and whoever it was would come down and then dance in our kitchen because I would hear it.
Dance in the kitchen?
Because I woke up to that red oak creaking because, I mean, it was loud. Like, you could not walk in the dining room or the kitchen.
You couldn't walk in that house at all.
And not,
without...
and not hear somebody.
Yeah.
You were in New York, mm-hmm. and I got up, and I was like, Eli, stop. And next thing I know, he's on your pillow going, brr.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nice. And it's not a house settling. I know what that sounds like. I've lived
no,
in
No, and that
old
house
houses.
Is old enough to be settled anyways.
Well, I mean, old house is still settled because of expansion. But I know what that sounds like. It was not that. It sounded like somebody was walking and pacing or dancing in our dining room. And then that's when I started noticing that the attic was...
The attic door would move. And like...
That's why I marked it.
That's what?
I marked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I marked it. Freaked me out, man. Because I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I've been in this attic 100 times. I know there's no physical human being in the attic.
Mm-mm.
I'd been up there. I ran speaker wire. I ran mm-hmm. all new lights.
Your mom was up there, too.
Yeah. I had to put her... Well, my big ass couldn't fit in the eave, so I had to
feed
her everything and squeeze her in the eave. But there is... Physical living human being was not up there at all whatsoever. So I took a Sharpie, and I put two lines, and I marked it. And then... When I'd hear it, I would check it, and it would always be off a couple of inches.
No.
Left or
negative.
Right.
I knew it was moved. I knew when
I just
it
didn't tell
move.
You about it, because I didn't want you to freak out. We were selling the house. So.
I already knew that house had its problems, because I...
Well, it's like at Mom's house. I used to see a guy standing in the corner of my bedroom.
I'm glad I never did. And in the staircase.
Yep,
right,
the face in the stair. I wish I could find that picture, because Vicky remembers it very vividly.
Mm-mm.
My parents didn't believe me until I showed Dad the photo. Of the grown white man. He's an old white guy. It's his face peering on the short staircase in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Looking.
Uh-uh.
Like this, because we were all in my parents' bedroom doing something. I don't know if we were cleaning or organizing, counting coins, whatever we were doing at the time. I just looked over and I went to go take a picture of Eli on the stairs. And went...
And it was there.
And as soon as I looked at the photo, that is the first thing I saw was his face, and I zoomed in. And once you zoomed in, I mean, it made it even like...
The only time...
Like that like
yeah.
from The Nun.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the only
when
time
you
I've
zoom
ever
in
seen,
to Valak's face, that's what it did.
The only time I've ever seen anything like that was when I went to the Devil's Tramping Ground, and I took pictures, and I wish I could find those pictures, but I can't anymore. Like, they're not even on Facebook or anything, and it was just full of light orbs. Like, I had several pictures just full of light orbs
yeah,
from the Devil
Trampled. Mom's got all hers from Savannah.
Yeah. And I, see, I've never lived in an old house because, like, my parents, the trailer before what my parents live in now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a trailer, like, it was just old. That got torn down, and then the house that they're in now got built. So that is technically a new house. Like,
yeah.
And then the only other time, I mean.
I don't remember my parents' first house very vividly because we moved
you
in.
You were too young.
They moved into the house that I grew up in when I was 5.
And then I never saw anything at your parents' house. And then I just knew that Kernersville had a weird vibe to it. And then now we live in
this. You picked that house.
I know. It's cute. It was a cute house.
It was a good price. I made good money on it.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be haunted.
And that's when I decided we're not dealing with this shit no more. So I bought land from an old supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I checked this land to see what it was used for. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Used for nothing,
literally.
Yeah.
No burial grounds. No battles were fought on this piece of property.
Nope.
Nothing historically relevant, at least, was fought. So if anything prehistoric, cool, whatever. They're gasoline now. And then he used it as a garden. So I was like, all right, we're going to be scot-free, baby.
And then the only thing that's even remotely close is the church that's at the end of the road. But, I mean.
Yeah, but there's snake handlers. I don't think ghosts fuck around there.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
Okay.
Anyway, off on our rant.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about the ghostly monks.
Yes.
Other people meandering past the historic yet haunted landmark have reported the manifestation of other shadowy figures by the walls and next to the doors of the cathedral. According to some who have seen these specters, many of the ghostly shadows have appeared with hoods drawn down over their faces. Are these apparitions the residual energy of the monks who once established San Antonio and who may have worshipped at the San Fernando Cathedral? Almost always, these dark figures have appeared in the back of the cathedral and have been known to manifest and vanish almost at will. But of all the paranormal occurrences which have been said at the cathedral, the ghostly monks seem to be the most frequently spotted. Perhaps they are unwilling to leave their house of worship, or perhaps they are simply unable to leave the place where their physical bodies have been buried within the walls or under the floors of the church.
I feel like that makes a lot of sense for monks to not want to leave their place of worship, though.
Wrong.
No?
The entire point of Christianity is to one day ascend to heaven.
Oh, well, maybe they liked it there. I'm just saying it makes sense.
Because I'm not going to go down that rant. It's a whole rabbit hole of dissecting Christianity and how you feel about things.
Oh, yeah, we might not want to do that.
Well, no, so it's more so some people believe when you die, mm-hmm. you are judged, you go to heaven or hell, it's done.
Yeah.
Catholics believe you go to a waiting room.
Purgatory.
Then you are judged heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
Some other Christians believe, it's not really a sect thing, that you do not go to heaven until Revelation, which is when the angels are, when they come to reclaim the earth and cleanse the earth.
The four horsemen.
The four horsemen come, the 13 trumpets are blown, all that stuff. Then all the dead rise, you either ascend to heaven or you stay in the ground, hell, aka hell.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who you ask is dependent on the interpretation.
Yeah.
You're going to learn because you're going to read Dante's.
Yeah.
The Inferno, which is...
I just bought Dante's Inferno.
Chef's Kiss.
So.
Stellar epic. Love it.
So.
You're going to learn about all the circles and how that is the entire foundation
mm-hmm.
of Catholic belief of how hell is built. Which is funny because, you know, the saying, you know, when hell freezes over.
Yeah.
Well, the ninth circle's frozen. It's a frozen abyss of nothingness for rats, cheaters, deceivers.
Mm-hmm.
So the two main people that are down there is Lucifer, mm-hmm. who deceived God.
Yes.
And Judas,
yeah.
who deceived Christ.
Yes.
So that's why it's always funny to me when people are like, well, hell freezes over. Well, if you're Catholic. It's starting.
All right. The ghost of Halloween. Over the years, San Fernando Cathedral's haunted reputation has grown tremendously. Because of its innate spiritual ambiance as a house of worship, it's not so surprising that there might be a ghost or two still roaming the grounds. On Halloween in 2007, however, the common orb sightings took a step back to make way for a rather incredulous paranormal incident. Workers were conducting a restoration project on the cathedral by removing old plaster from the original stone. Plans were set in place to replaster the walls. Despite the construction, the cathedral was still open for visitors, one of whom happened to be touring San Fernando with his handheld video camera. He captured the marble sarcophagus in the back, which many visitors claim to be ghostly cool to the touch at times, as well as the seal on the ground, which confirms the church's old age. Then, without any sort of warning, he captured a visceral image of a man kissing a skull on the head. He panicked, realizing that not a single soul was in sight. The image he captured on his camera had been nothing but a shimmering apparition of a ghost from long ago.
I'd like to see that photo.
Yeah, I'll...
I got it.
Yeah, and if I can find, if he finds it, I will post it on Instagram because that's kind of cool. All right, so visiting the haunted San Fernando Cathedral. If you find yourself wandering San Antonio during your next trip, be sure to take a moment to stop in at San Fernando Cathedral, which is not only the oldest structure in Texas, but the first Roman Catholic church in the state as well. The cathedral offers both self-guided and guided tours each day of the week, and parking can be found in one of the private lots surrounding the church as well. You surely don't want to miss out on visiting this beautiful place of worship that is such an integral part of San Antonio's history. And if you're lucky, you may come across one of the cathedral's many ghosts still wandering the holy ground of the church. I got my information for this story from ghostcitytours.com, by the way. And he is looking up to see if he can find the picture. No, I'll do some digging before I post it. Because it's Saturday. We normally record the podcast on Sunday, but we're busy tomorrow because it's Easter.
Can't find it.
So
I can't find any pictures of ghosts. Like anything that like these people have taken pictures of ghosts and stuff like that. It's a beautiful church though.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. What's it look like? Oh my, wow. That is massive. That is so big.
It's pretty.
Yeah. So, well, I will post pictures on Instagram as always, which get posted to Facebook. But it is Saturday when we're recording this because it's Easter weekend. We had yesterday off work. Yay, yay. Happy Easter to anybody.
Jesus responds tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. So if you celebrate, happy Easter.
If you don't, have a good Sunday.
Yeah, that too. So, but like I said, I'll post pictures on Instagram, which we'll then post to Facebook. You can contact me through Instagram or Facebook, both at 3 a.m. Tales of Terror. And the email that you can contact me through is 3amtalesofterror@gmail.com. Just make sure it's the @gmail.com because I don't have the old one. So other than that, I hope that you guys enjoyed this story and our little rants that we went off on. So always happy to talk about the Kernersville house and how haunted it was, apparently, even though I never really...
It was all me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was all me.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember one thing. Wherever you go, there you are.
Okay.
Later.
Yeah. Bye.